Hi guys. Hey everyone. So before you get too excited about how fancy that template looks, don't worry, I ripped it off somebody else, so I'm not that graphically intense. So don't worry, it's not going to look that fancy for the rest of things. But to catch you guys up on everything, I went back to a mission trip back in spring during March to Costa Rica. I'll go into where and what and that kind of stuff later. To catch you up on why I missed a family vacation, I've also been working at Maranatha Bible Camp this summer. I just got back from my last trip there yesterday night, so I just wrapped that up there. It was awesome working there with a lot of the Stockton Christian Church people, a lot of churches from around the Joplin area, a lot of the OCC, which is the big Christian church down there, along with a couple other SBU people. It's been really awesome doing there this summer, so if I've been gone, that's where I've been. I've been back a lot of Sundays from that kind of stuff, but it's been awesome to work there. But Costa Rica, if you want to hit the next slide. So where's Costa Rica? It's a good place to start. So, boom. So this is once again, I ripped this off something else, so I'm not this good graphically. Up there in green is Guatemala. You'll hear about that later from Emily. The yellow is Panama, which is the very northernmost part of Central or South America. And then right in the pink is Costa Rica. And we were in San Jose, which is the capital there. It's a fairly good-sized city. It's the biggest-sized city that they have there. It's about 100,000 people, pretty big. We were in a suburbs of it. We were not in the big skyscraper-type part of it. And you'll see some pictures later on that are kind of describe how we're kind of stuff. So talking about Costa Rica in general here now, which I'm going to get my notes out. So naturally of Costa Rica is known as the most beautiful country on earth. Basically based off of all the travel blogs and stuff, you'll see that Costa Rica is very popular. That picture on the left up there, I'm going to come up here so my left and right are mirrored. They have more waterfalls there than any other nation on the planet. So because it rains 9 of the 12 months there during the monsoon season, there's just little waterfalls and tributaries everywhere. And the entire basically country is one giant jungle and rainforest. Very pretty, very kind of local wildlife or kind of crazy. You'll see some of that later. That picture on the right is a hike that we took one day. Those are coffee fields. So one of the other things you'll learn about at Costa Rica, one is that they don't really have a whole lot of stuff other than coffee. So, and the funny thing about that is their national animal is actually the sloth because the people are really lazy. And you can ask them about that. So if you've ever had anything that's like Nicaraguan coffee or Honduran coffee or that kind of stuff, that was actually probably grown in Costa Rica, and then they outsourced the work to other people. So all the Nicaraguans, their neighbors, the Hondurans, that kind of stuff, that's actually probably Costa Rican coffee. I'll get into more on that later. But Costa Ricans are extremely laid-back people. Like they're saying, they're the most like beautiful country in the world. They make all their money off of coffee and tourism. So they are not like a third-world country. That's something that a lot of people get wrong. They are pretty wealthy for South America and Central America. They are not by our standard by any means, but they are not poor per se. The other part of like going into that, like I said, the climate is very, 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 very warm. It's kind of hot, kind of doing that kind of stuff anywhere. As you can kind of see in the hiking picture, if you want to go to the next slide too, there's some other stuff we'll get into. So you can kind of see, this is from inside San Jose. The entirety of San Jose is surrounded about 90% by mountains. So it sits in a big dome, and it slopes down to a valley right in the middle where the river runs through. But the entirety rest of San Jose is surrounded on all sides by one giant mountain. Costa Rica has gobs of mountains. This, like I said, is from the inner city. So this is from L14, which I cannot tell you what that means. basically, like I said, Costa Ricans are lazy. They have no standing military or army of any kind. This is the last military fort that they have up, and it's basically just a big museum. You can go up to the one tower that they have and get a picture from the entirety of the city. So you can see, I'll have some other pictures later on that show another view of it. The big thing that you should be looking at right now is you can kind of see how there's no real structure to this city. The biggest difference here in Costa Rica, and this will play into ministry stuff later, is that there's not a like residential district. There's not a housing district. There's not a business district. Every house and everything is very much wall to wall to wall to wall. You could have your dentist right next to your house, next to your food district, right next to, and so on. And there's not a bit of spare room left. If you want to go to the next slide, here's the other view from the side of L14. And everything is kind of just hodgepodge together. You can see the mountains up on the side of the walls up in the picture. San Jose is kind of expanded right up to the base of the mountains, so you can kind of see the scale of it right there. Like I said, we were kind of in the suburbia part of it. These pictures are kind of from the inner city side of it. But it's very much just hodgepodge together kind of stuff. If you want to go to the next slide. The street view picture here is a really important one. This is about the, there's a reason I took a picture of this, just so you can kind of see the street view. It's not our standard of living, but it's still very good for South America, Central America. The other reason I took a picture of that, you see the yellow stripe in the middle of that road on the left picture? That's about the only road that I've ever seen in Costa Rica that has a striped line down the middle. That's not their big highways. Drivers in Costa Rica kind of don't care with traffic laws. That is what we would consider a two-lane road. They would consider that about a five-lane road. They have a saying down in Costa Rica, motorcycles are actually a lot more popular than cars are. They have a saying, I can't say because it's in Spanish, but it basically means to jump the gun. What they would say is that motorcycles will drive through lanes of traffic, and at a traffic light, there'll be about 100 motorcycles that end up lining up before the line turns green because they've all shot through between the cars and lined up at the thing. And so they have a saying that basically means motorcycles at the green light, and that means jump the gun because they've cheated in front of all the cars. So once again, they're not very poor, but you can kind of see the street view there on the left. Going back to the coffee, that is the Starbucks factory that they have there. So we actually got to go in and do some touring of that. Starbucks, like I said, if you've had Starbucks coffee, it's probably from the San Jose area. They have a little cafe there and right next to their big farming district there. It's a good deal. But if you want to go to the next slide, now you know a little bit more about Costa Rica. This is our view from where we're actually staying. So the spot we were staying at was called El Chante. It basically means the retreat center. We just called it El Chante. This is a view from it out in the mountains. So that's on the left there, that's a view from the sunset. As the sun's rising right over the city, you can kind of see it better in the righter picture. The city, that's about how far out in the mountains we were staying. El Chante, I did not get a picture of it, which I feel very remiss about, and you'll see later on, there's a lot of pictures that I regret not taking, especially some people. But you can see about how far out we were from the city. It's about a 20, 30-minute drive up in the mountains, some windy back, switchback type stuff. And you can kind of see the base of the wall. I'll get into more of that later. El Chante was essentially, I think, a really big log cabin that's really, really tall and not very wide at all. Think like 6 bedrooms stacked on top of each other vertically, and that's a good image of it. I was on the very bottom floor with the rest of the boys. Narrow air conditioning, dirt floor, but that's actually pretty good for Costa Rica in that area. We had plumbing and electricity, but no air conditioning and all that kind of stuff. Costa Rica, the temperature there is not crazy. You would think with the rainforest, it'd be like 100 and whatever. It was actually pretty cool. It's like 70s, 80s. It's very humid because it's the rainforest, but there was never a day that we felt like we were going to die of heat stroke, unless it was the one day that I'll get into later. But you can get a good view from the retreat center, El Chante, and that kind of stuff later. But if you want to go to the next slide, the Piana people that we got there. So if you want to go to the next slide, this is our total team. This is a picture that we took at one of the places I'll get to later, which if you're thinking, that looks like a really big team, I'll explain the breakup there. I'm in the very back left, right by the waterfall there. So we actually had 3 groups of people with us there working on mission. If you want to go to the next slide. So this is the SBU team. So I'm on the far right there. If you're wondering about the 8-man team, minus one, I'll get into that here in a minute. So the lady in the middle, her name is Alejandra. She is a graduate student who still goes to SBU. She's been studying there for a couple years now. She is originally from Miami, Florida. Her family is there, but she can speak fluent Spanish. The rest of us could not speak fluent Spanish, but we tagged along there. The reason we have an 8-man team, our leader, Dr. Shuford, she teaches biology and Spanish at SBU. She is actually the one who was supposed to be the head of the mission trip. Not this last March, the March before, her husband was diagnosed with a bunch of heart problems and stuff. And so while we were fundraising and such, she was dealing with some of that. He actually recovered very well from the heart problems and that kind of stuff. I applied for this mission trip in September, October. She was with us dealing with some of that kind of stuff during the very beginning of that. By the time December rolled around, she was pretty bad, kind of helping us and that kind of stuff. And then come January, February, right as we're like gearing up to leave, we leave at the beginning of March. While going in for a heart checkup, her husband gets diagnosed with colon cancer. They caught it super early because, like you said, he was going in for a heart, checking up on his heart stuff. They just said, full body, you have colon cancer. He's actually made a very good recovery, all things considered. He is not perfect by any means, but he is doing much better. But obviously, she needed to go deal with that while we were on mission trip, and she was very remiss. If you've known Elsie, Emily can attest to this. Dr. Schuford is the most sweetest little woman you've ever met. She stands about this tall, but she is wonderful, and we missed her very much. So that being said, we were without a leader for this trip, and we kind of had to fly by the seat of her pants for a lot of this, but we got her done, and we were very happy to do this. If you want to go to the next slide, I'll explain some of the chaos that's going on here. So on the left is the Grand Canyon University team. There's actually a couple other girls who aren't pictured in that, but they were mostly an all-guys team. So Grand Canyon University, which is down in Phoenix, Arizona, they are the biggest Christian college in the nation. They are awesome. So they have a team of guys that partnered with us for the week, and they sent that group of guys with them. The big thing about their group is that they're not actually all from Grand Canyon University. So the guy in the blue on the far left, he is the leader of the Grand Canyon University guys. But if some of the guys actually don't attend Grand Canyon, they are with the Young Life organization, which I'll get into later. Young Life is the sponsors who got us to Costa Rica. They're the ministry organization that we work with, and they are mostly based in North America, but they do send out internationally, especially to the UK region, a lot of Ireland, UK, that kind of stuff, ministry. But they also send a couple to Costa Rica and the whole Central America area, and that's what these guys are working with. So they're actually part of Young Life at Phoenix, and they had been sent here despite not being from GCU. On the right, I feel really bad about not having this. So Ticos is not a misspelling of toucan. Ticos is what the Costa Ricans call themselves. They don't call themselves Costa Rican. Their country is called Costa Rica. It's not like they call it something different. That's what they go by. For whatever reasons, they go by Tico. It's because of their dialect of Spanish. They have a very, they have a tendency to put Tico at the end of everything. So if they said something like the Costa Rican person, they do call them a Tico. I also didn't have a single picture of them when I went back in to find the photos of just them. So I threw in a picture of the coolest picture I got of this toucan I got to hold later on in the trip because that was the best thing I could find of them. But the Ticos were actually extremely well. They're the nicest people I've ever met. If you know anything about Latin America cultures, Central America cultures, they're called what's called a warm climate. Emily will get into this later, I'm sure. We are kind of a cold climate country is what it's called. That just means essentially we are very much time focused, where everything is very much structured, where we're based our day around work, day, time, getting stuff done, being fast. It's called cold cultured climate. Try saying that 10 times fast. Because we're in a colder climate, we are more necessity to eat food. In the warmer cultures, they are very much about relationships. They don't care if the work gets done. They just want to have a good time, talk to people, build relationships about it. They are very much exemplaries of that. The first thing that happened when we got there, we actually, the SBU team got there about 24 hours earlier than the GCU team. They had some flight issues. We got there. They didn't know what SBU stood for. They knew it was Baptist University, but they didn't know what the S stood for. And so when we walked out of the airport, we got through customs okay. We walked out, and there's about 30 of them with varying SBU signs. They had placed bets on what the S stood for. One of them had Southern, which was closed, but other than that, they weren't very good at it. But they basically mugged us with food, balloons, gifts, presents, and welcomed us into their lives. They're amazing. Overall, they spoke very well English. Because of the Young Life organization, a lot of them had done things outside the country before. Most people speak English also in Costa Rica. Other than like the older generation, a lot of the older people can't speak very good English, but we were mostly with the younger group, with a youth organization there, and they were just amazing for the whole week. I'll get into more of that later, but if you want to go to the next slide. Purpose, yay, if you want to go once again to the next slide. Why are we at Costa Rica? So I touched on this a little bit earlier, Young Life Ministry. They are part of a big global organization. They're mostly based in North America right now in the bigger cities. They have a Young Life Boston, Young Life San Diego, a bunch of the bigger cities in America. But like I said, they do have an international branch that sends out, especially the UK and Europe, but it's some to Central America, whenever that kind of stuff. Like, it's based to youth age. So exactly what you would think here, around late middle school, early high school, up to college age ministry. That other thing that we're part of is for the Center of Global Connections at SBU. Me and Emily both do that. If you do a mission trip through SBU, you'll have to go through them. They are amazing. They were the ones who handle all the fundraising part of stuff. And they just want you, honestly, to go have a fun time and spread the word of God. It is amazing. It's that kind of stuff. So, on the ministry, like I said, youth age ministry across San Jose. Just because we're with Young Life, we actually did a lot of what we would call college age ministry, where the SVU people share with the TCOs and with GCU. GCU shares with the other people. A lot of sharing our testimonies and that kind of stuff. I had a day, and you'll see a couple pictures of me and another random guy that you've never seen before from SBU. Me and him are in discipleship groups together at SBU. We had a day where we led our whole party in a discipleship day. We were able to do that. We do a lot of cross-culture ministry. I hate to call it that because, honestly, their culture is not very much different than ours, other than how they live their day-to-day lives. They are very much focused on the Lord in a similar way to us. It's very refreshing to see that. And they are very much on fire for the Lord. They have a lot more energy in general than we do around here. They are very much all gas, no brakes, both physically and metaphorically. And that goes doubly for the Lord. On the service side of stuff, we did a lot of physical labor. I don't want to like say that it was some of the easiest work I've ever done. Because it rains 9 months of the year there, I mentioned that earlier, we were there during the dry season. It was going to kick up a couple weeks after we left. The way that El Chante, our retreat center house, it's situated on the side of a mountain, and slowly over the years, rain has washed away, and if it wasn't dealt with soon, that El Chante would wash down the hill. And so our main job was there was that we had chicken wire and basically stones that we found around the mountain, and we would make a wall out of them and then fill it in with gravel. You'll see some pictures of that later, but it is very demanding work. We had to make 45 to 50 square meter blocks of just rocks and fill that in with the wall, fill it in with gravel behind it. One of the other things is that El Chante, like I said, is situated up in the mountain. Well, the river that's washing it away is located right there. And they wanted us to put in a trail. And so we basically bushwhacked a trail for them down to the river and then set up a little picnic area and that kind of stuff for that. We'll get into more of that later. But we also had one free day, which I'll talk about later. That's the picture with the big waterfall and stuff. We went to a place, it's basically their national park. They don't call them national parks, but essentially a zoo mixed with a national park. I hesitate to call it a zoo, but they also have like jaguars and stuff there, so you know, it's pretty cool. if you want to go to the next picture, that's what we were there for. Time to talk about how it actually went, which there's going to be very few pictures here, and there's going to be a really funny picture up next. So this is the guy I was talking about. So our flight plan got a little sideways. So on the way down, we were supposed to go from Springfield Airport, which is awesome. We didn't have to go to St. Louis or anything. From Springfield down to Miami, down to Costa Rica. We weren't supposed to have a super long layover, that kind of stuff. And on the way up, same thing, Miami, Springfield back up. We got to Miami, and we got a 7-hour layover. Fortunately, like I mentioned earlier, Alejandra, our leader there, her family is from Miami, and so they were about 40 minutes away. They came out, drove us around the boardwalk, and me and his name is Caden, who is the other one there. We got to go down to Miami Beach. We got called a bunch of Amish kids from the local people because me and him were like, we're never going to be in Miami again. All of our stuff is checked in a bag. We don't have any of our clothes, but we're like, let's go swimming. We have 5 hours to kill. So we went and swam at the Miami Beach for about a couple hours in our jeans. We're soaked to the bone, but it was a good time. Miami Beach was wonderful other than the 10,000 people. And I will say that this, honestly, at Miami was the most spiritually, like, attacked I felt during the whole trip. It was not Costa Rica. Costa Rica was very welcoming, very friendly. You could kind of feel the sin presence at Miami just walking around the boardwalks, around the city. You can kind of just feel there was a warfare going on there. Never at Costa Rica did I feel anything like that, which is both a blessing and, like, we need to work in Miami more. But that was a fun layover that we got to have. If you want to go to the next picture. So this is kind of the work I was telling you about. So I'm there in the gravel pile right there, shoveling gravel in the buckets that we're going to take down and fill in the back wall. So that wall right there, you can kind of see El Chante. This is taken from the second deck of it. There's a big porch area up top. That wall right there that most of those people are standing on, that's what we're building. Essentially, that'll get built out to where there's people on the very far left side of the screen will be built to. We'll build the wall out to there. This was taken on the first day. We actually went through, you can't really tell the scale of it right there, That gravel pile that I'm standing on, there's two of them side by side. We were supposed to only have those two for the whole week. We ended up going through six of them because GCU guys were awesome. And there were some dogs who helped us work very well. And each of those is one dump truck full, which is kind of impressive when you think that the size of the road that the dump truck had to go down to get here was about this big. And so there's some excellent drivers. There are also some crazy drivers out there. But we were able to fulfill a lot of that work and get about six of those done. We were supposed to build, like I said, 50 of those square things. They had already started. They needed like an 80% 80 of those blocks to make the wall. They had had about 10, 15 when we were there. They had a goal for us to make about 40 to 50 of them. We ended up making like 60 of them and almost finishing the wall. And there was another group that was coming in the week after us, and they ended up completing the wall. We got a message back that they got it done in like the second day that they were there. So that was very much a blessing. El Chante will be safe for future generations. If you want to go to the next picture, there's another picture of it. What those guys are doing on the right or on the left here, they are building out that bushwhacking trail, essentially down to the falls that are there at the very bottom of the mountain. That's essentially shovels and a lot of sweat because there's not really a very good trail. There's a walking trail, but the walking trail is also being eroded away from the rain. And if you take a wrong step, you'll end up about 200 feet down on the wrong side of the mountain. And so they're slowly pickaxing and shoveling dirt off the mountain to make the wall and make the trail down to there. That was hard work. I ended up doing that a couple days. They worked as hard. They did. But it was very good work because it was we're all there working there as a team. The Costa Ricans are amazing, that kind of stuff. I'm going to talk about this right now because I didn't really have another good time to talk about it. The food. The food's kind of interesting. So you think Costa Rican and you think like, oh, what kind of crazy food they have. It's just fruit. We ate like a couple of fruit bats down there. Kinds of fruits I will never know the names of and never have a chance to eat again. Fruits that look like they're straight out of like an alien planet, all kinds of colors. The big things there is that they're not very sweet, the fruits are. They're very much meaty fruits where they're like big, like coconut-sized fruits, and you open them up and they're just like pulp, and that's it. And they taste very tart, very good, but they're very filling. And so we would have this thing called cafecito every day. We would work in the mornings from about 7 to 10, and then we would have the cafecito, which is like we do a morning devotional. That's when we would lead or do ministry. We'd eat like basically a coffee and fruit snack, and then we would work until lunch, until about 1. Then we'd eat lunch. They love food down there. Then we'd work for another couple hours, have a second cafecito, have some more coffee, eat some more food, and then we'd work till dinner. And that was basically what our day would look like. So it was never that we were like working without end, and it was very nice because we'd have those refreshing times, very much time to spend with each other with the Lord, that kind of stuff. But we worked very hard for those days that we were. If you want to go to the next slide. So this is the youth ministry part of it, and I'm very sad that I did not take any more pictures of this, which they weren't very gung-ho about having pictures taken of them. So this is about one of the only pictures I could get of them. So as you can see, this is kind of just like in a garage. So street ministry is what we did down there. Think of it more of like our Chi Alpha that we have here, where it's very much like a youth leader will host it, and it's just in their garage. But with everything being wall-to-wall-to-wall-to-wall in the streets and that kind of stuff, it's like this whole quadrant is now taken over by the youth ministry, and they just use everyone's houses as that. So this is basically, it's a mix of our guys and the youth there. You can kind of see me in the very far back. The signal that we're doing, this means Young Life. It makes a Y and an L at the same time. This is like the international Young Life symbol. We went there. That day, we spent one whole day with the youth. That morning, we finished up, actually, the wall. That was the one day we finished it up, or our section of it anyway. Then we went out and played soccer with them. And by played soccer, I meant they ran circles around me and I touched the ball once because they're very good at soccer down there. Kids had a blast. That lunch we went and spent at this youth leader's house. We ate lunch there and then helped them prepare for the kids to come that evening. We basically had a big dance party. I got to play red light, green light, and I won against all those kids. And then they started calling me Numero Uno Gringo because I was the fastest, best green light or red light, green light player that they had. And they had a really good time. The kids were very much questioning of us, not in like a I don't trust you way, but in a how are the states, how is your Christ experience different than ours? They ask very good questions. Everyone there, like I said, is very much energy. Everyone is very much on fire for the Lord. Even the ones who might have a little bit of questions about, there were some gang members, like young gang members. There are gangs there. That's like the number one problem they have there. These are ones that had been like inducted into the gang, but they were basically like kind of in, kind of not. They had come to the youth group for the past couple weeks, but they were still very much, we don't know which way to lean exactly between Christ and this gang. And it was very awesome to see them there. We weren't the ones to talk them off the gang, but it was very awesome to be there, talk with them about that, and they enjoyed asking us the questions from a different culture and that kind of thing. That's unfortunately about all the youth ministry we got to do. We spent one day, like I said, with them a lot, but a lot of what we did with physical labor. We were able to send one day, we went around San Jose. I'll get to this here in just a second. One whole day around San Jose, we went to all the Young Life board members' houses. We helped them, we met with them, we thanked them for their time. That was very refreshing, especially we did some more of that college age ministry where it's just most of them are just not in college, but they're in that level of age and that kind of spiritual growth. This is at La Paz, which is that national park I told you about. So they have three back-to-back waterfalls. And this is our whole team that we went there. We saw some jaguars, we saw some sloths, we saw some toucans that I got to hold. All kinds of crazy animals that are all natural to that environment. It was more like a zoo where they were like in exhibits and that kind of stuff, but the exhibits are the rainforest and it's like a huge 100-yard exhibit and not just like a, here's a little spot that they stay. And it was more of a hiking trail, too, through these woods. This was amazing. This is, like, about the most beautiful place I've ever been, being honest. Just between all the waterfalls and the hiking and that kind of stuff, I'm at the very top of the rock up there in the top left. It was amazing. Seeing God's creation like this is astounding. Just that this exists, like, the flight's, like, 12 hours away. It's not that far. Like, that this exists so close to us in the world, and that it's this astounding. But if you want to go to the next picture, thank you, guys. That's about all I have right now. I can do questions and that kind of stuff. This is us after we finished the wall on the last day. If you want to go to the next picture, too, there's me. You probably saw that in the slideshow. That's me and, like I said, my buddy after a full day of work. If you want to help support the Costa Rican mission team in the future and you'd really like some coffee, they have a Young Life ministry straight from Costa Rica. It's called 41 and Change. It's a ministry that they do down there by selling that coffee. Strongest coffee I've ever had in my life. I'm usually a black coffee drinker.
You will die if you drink this black.
Like, it is strong. And between all the cafecitos that we had, there was a lot of coffee. Everyone's hopped up. That might be why they're so energetic. And if you want to support the Costa Rican mission trip from SBU directly, you can go to CGC, you can talk to me or Emily, or anyone at SBU, and I'm sure we can get you hooked up with that kind of stuff.
Questions, I guess, or anything? That's about all I have.
What about your, like, when you were bushwhacking the trail?
The trail? So the question was what kind of animals and bugs and stuff that we saw were screening. I have had more bug bites at Maranatha Bible Camp than I ever got at Costa Rica. They're honestly, because of how humid it is, the bugs and kind of stuff are not prevalent. Honestly, like, the only thing you got to worry out for is snakes, which, oh, snakes. I never saw a snake unless it was in an exhibit at the zoo. A lot of venomous snakes, yeah. But there's not any that we saw, and most of them are, like, it's such a common thing out there that, one, they have free healthcare, and two, that there's just gobs of anti-venom. And none of them are like, you're going to die in like a minute of being bitten. It's all like, oh no, you'll die in a week. And they can get you anti-venom pretty quick.
That's about all the time for questions. I kind of ate up all your time, and I'm sorry.
Yay!
That's all I have. It's halfway through.
Okay, so this year I was very fortunate to go on two mission trips, one during spring break, the same time as Trevor, and then one this summer. The first one I went to was Guatemala. Very similar to Trevor's. It was hot, but it wasn't very humid. So whenever we were working, it wasn't terrible. You definitely sweated some, but you weren't like dying of heat stroke. If you want to go to the next slide. So this is my team. There was 9 of us. Stephanie scared me. anyway, so there was 9 of us on our team. There were 3 guys and the rest, and the 6 were girls. We had a 4th guy, but he had ankle surgery right before, so we couldn't go, which was very sad. So we went to Casa Bernabe, which was the orphanage we worked at. It was an orphanage, a school, and a church all at once. So they would bring kids from the town that it was in. I don't know how to pronounce it, so I'm not going to try. But if you look up Casa Bernabe, you will find it in Guatemala. So they'd bring kids in for school and for church, and it was very cool to see. So that's my team. You want to go to the next slide? So while we were there, kind of similar to Trevor, we worked a lot, and then we had one day of kind of a free day. So with it being an orphanage, in the morning we would get up about 7, do breakfast, do a small devotion, and then we would work from about 8 to 1 every day. So the first picture on the left is me and my best friend. She was the leader of this trip, and so that was pretty cool to go and experience this with her. Because she went last year, and she's like, Emily, I really think you should go. And I told her, I said, I'm not going to Guatemala. Like, that's not happening. And my mom was like, do you think you'd want to go to Guatemala? And I said, no, I'm not going to go. Like, that's not for me. Whatever. I'm driving home. I start bawling. I'm like, I don't know why I'm crying. This is stupid. Like, why are you crying? And then I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to Guatemala now. So kind of, you know, Steve has said this, my mom has said this, don't tell the Lord you're not going somewhere because you will end up going. So anyway, what we did for work is we built a wall. So kind of like what Trevor was saying was there's a rainy season and it lasts about 6 months out of the year. And it will rain every day after 1 o'clock until about 1 in the morning. So that was pretty cool. Just to see that kind of rain, because it started like as we got there. I mean, as we were leaving, it started. But so we were building a wall to kind of help with the water flow so it wouldn't go into the houses of the kids. So we built that, and then we're also digging a canal and filling it in with concrete. So I mixed concrete every day for 5 days for about 4 hours a day by hand. We didn't have Quikrete. So that was a lot of work, I'm not going to lie, but it was really fun, and it was very fulfilling just to see the work we could do, because we were able to get done more than they expected us to do, which was really awesome. So the picture in the middle is of us digging concrete, and then the picture on the right is us digging out the canal and laying concrete and everything. So if you want to go to the next slide. So for the orphanage, they had kind of strict rules about what we could not post. So we weren't allowed to show the kids' faces if they were an orphan. But how it worked is there were 8 houses, 4 girls, 4 guy houses, and they weren't able to mix unless the parents had kids of their own. And all the houses ranged from kids who were newborns to 18 years old. So there was just a whole variety of kids. With that, the girls on our team were only allowed to hang out with the girls' houses. We weren't allowed to be with the boys' houses and then vice versa, just because they wanted to keep us separated. So the little boy on the left, he was one of the parents, and we got permission. His name was Wilson. He was very sweet, and he loved playing soccer, which is the field behind him. I don't know if I added a picture of the soccer field, but they loved playing soccer. We played it for about 2 hours every day. Like Trevor, they ran circles around us. I was not very good. And they would call us gringos all the time, and they'd say, you're a bad gringo or you're not very good at the sport. So they made fun of us quite a bit for that. But that's okay. The girls in the middle were 3 girls that I hung out with quite often. Whenever we got there, they kind of like latched on to certain people, and these 3 kind of hung around me the whole time, which was very sweet, and I got to know them pretty well. But they loved making bracelets and singing and dancing. So we would make bracelets for hours after we worked, because once we ate lunch at 1, from then on, we could go and hang out with the kids until about supper time, which is about 5:30. So we made a lot of bracelets, we sang a lot, and they loved playing volleyball. So that was another time they told us we were bad at volleyball. But we did get to do that a lot. And then the girl on the end, she was actually looking at my phone because she loved seeing herself in selfies. So she would take them, or she'd get a video of her blowing bubbles and dancing, and then she would just laugh and smile all the time after watching them. So that was pretty fun and pretty cool to see, and getting to know them. One thing about the kids is most of them come from a broken home, and they do try to, like, get them back into their home, but they also don't want to put them in a situation that's hard for them or not safe for them even. But with that, it was really cool because all of these kids had just a love and a joy that is not seen around the United States very often. Like, they didn't have much. They had 9 to 10 siblings, whether they were all related or not. They didn't have the newest iPhone or the newest gaming system. Like, most of them were excited if we brought a jump rope down, and they were ecstatic. And it was just really cool to see their love and joy that they had from just having nothing, because they didn't expect anything. And they knew that the Lord was going to take care of them no matter what. So if you want to go to the next slide. This is just more pictures of kind of what we did. The one on the left, so their church service was a little bit different than ours. So Sunday we got to see that, and it was very cool. They started church at 8 in the morning, and it did not end until 1 in the afternoon. So after a 9-hour, 6-hour flight, it was a very early morning and a very long morning leading into that, and all of us were very tired. But it was very cool to see because they were very interactive, and it was kind of hard to tell because they did it mostly in Spanish. And when you don't know Spanish, you don't really know what's happening. And they would switch between singing and praying and speaking the word. So you kind of had to watch the people around you and be like, oh, we're praying now. Oh, we're singing now. But it was very cool to see that. And then they also, every Friday, did a giant orphanage prayer time. So all the parents would come and all the kids would come. And then they would have someone lead it. And they would do a song or two of worship. And then they would pray for 5 different things. So they would pray for their country. They would pray for their family. They would pray for their friends. They would pray for their needs. And then they would also pray, what was the 5th thing? I want to say it was just for the Lord to work in whatever area needed to be. So that was very cool. And we had some kids come up and, like, pray over us, which was very sweet because it was right before we left. And I don't think I posted a picture of this, but before we left, they threw us a thank you and a goodbye party. So some of the houses danced, some of us made us signs, or they'd play a game with us. But it was very sweet, and at the end, they all got to come up and pray over us and our group. And so all the kids came over, and they would give us hugs. And it was very sweet. It was very emotional to say goodbye, because you definitely grew to love those kids. Picture in the middle, and on the right side is us just kind of hanging out and playing with them like we did most days. It was very, very eye-opening, to say the least, because these kids really didn't have a lot, kind of like I said earlier, but they definitely taught me a few things, and I hoped I was able to teach them a few things as well. So, I'm going to go to the next slide. So, our day away was in Antigua, which is a town about 2 hours away from the orphanage. It was very cool. It was very busy. So, kind of like what Trevor was saying, there's not really traffic laws, and it was a little scary. And our bus driver said, if you don't want to be scared, don't look out the window. So for the most time, we kept our heads down, and we just let him go because we'd break and we'd go, and it was scary, and you'd have motorcycles zooming past you. But it was very cool. It was a 2-hour drive, so that was good for our team because we got to talk and just kind of recap, because this was kind of in the middle of the week. And so we got to talk about the week and just kind of get to know each other a little bit better. So on the left, the picture, that's a Starbucks. And it was voted the world's prettiest Starbucks in the world. So they get the coffee from Costa Rica, they send it here, and they get the prettiest Starbucks. It was beautiful. There were so many trees and plants, and it was just awesome. The middle is kind of the town. So kind of what Trevor was saying is there's not really a congruent, like, style that they have, but there were just buildings and streets, and it was crazy for a while, but it was really cool to walk around and just see the different architecture and shops and different stuff. So one thing really big about Guatemala in this area was they had a bunch of little shops and, like, vendors, and so you could walk through and barter with them, and they'd be like, oh, and they'd go down and they'd say, oh, buy this for your mom, oh, buy this for your dad, oh, buy this for your brother, and it was very hard to say no, because they would have little kids, and they'd be like, this is how they eat, this is for our home, this is whatever, and I'm like, I don't have this much money, and so you walk around kind of sad, but it's okay, because everyone had the same stuff, and then you see a semi-truck drive by, and you're like, you're getting this from Amazon, so, I'm just kidding, but that was pretty cool. On the right, that was a volcano. So Antigua and where we stayed is surrounded by three giant volcanoes. Actually, the team picture in the beginning had us in front of a volcano. I don't know if my dad knows this, but one of them did erupt while we were there just a little bit. No one was hurt. It wasn't very close to us, but it did erupt, and we did hear the helicopters flying around. So that was kind of scary because we woke up and people were talking, but we didn't know what they were saying because we're not fluent in Spanish. And then we checked our phones and it was like, volcano erupted. And we were like, oh, okay, cool. But that's okay. We were safe. It was good, but it was very cool. It was very pretty to see the different volcanoes because you could literally turn in a 360 and see all three of them. So if you want to go to the next slide. So again, just more pictures of Antigua. So this is a landmark in Guatemala. It is a bridge. I don't really know why it was important. They didn't really tell us, but they said it was important, so I took a picture of it. It was very pretty. It was very cool. There are a couple different theories behind what it was, but I'm not going to get into all of those. That in the middle was actually a Catholic church for a while. It is no longer one, but it was one of the first ones ever in Guatemala. And on the other side of it, there was a statue of Paul with, I want to say, a quote from 1 Corinthians on it. So that was very cool, and it was very pretty just to see the original Catholic Church of Guatemala. And the picture on the right is us at Taco Bell. You go to Guatemala, you eat Taco Bell, is what I've been told. So it was very cool. My parents made fun of me because we ate Taco Bell in Guatemala. But that was a really fun time. Me and my friends, we got to hang out and eat, and it was just so much fun to be there. Before we went back to work. So, we can go to the next slide. Okay, these are just some more pictures that I didn't really have room in the slide for. But something I do, so there was another team there. They were from Tennessee. They were from a church group. They were a college group. They were very sweet. They were about double the size of us. We did not know they were going to be there until 2 weeks before. So that was kind of weird for us to find out. Oh, by the way, you're going to meet 24 new people. While you're there, and it was great. They were very sweet, but it was very hard because they were a lot more than us. They got there before we did, and they almost all spoke fluent Spanish. So whenever we first got there, all the kids knew them already, and so all the kids kind of gravitated towards them. And so for a while, we were like, man, like, this is hard. This is really, like, we came here, we wanted to see all these kids, and they don't really want to hang out with us as much. But leading up to this, we do devotionals once a week, and our whole thing was not being the spotlight, letting Jesus be the spotlight. And all of us, our team met up after that first day, and we all had the same opinion, man, this is hard. Man, this is not what we thought it was going to be with this other team here. And they were great. They were super sweet. They didn't do anything on purpose. This was just us and our own insecurities. But we all collectively agreed that the Lord has been preparing us for this, that it's not us who has to be in the way. If these kids are feeling the love of Christ, whether it's from us or this other group, that's the important part. So once we kind of figured that out and once we kind of got that into our heads, it was a lot easier and we had a lot of fun there. So we did a movie night one night, which was really fun. We went to this really good bakery and it was really good because I can't even explain it. But there was one, so on our way home, we went through Guatemala Airport. We all wanted to be home, like we were tired because our flight was at midnight, Guatemala. And then we got a 4-hour layover in Dallas. And so it pushed our time back and we were all tired and we wanted to go home. Me and my friend Shiana, we went and got coffee and we came back and everyone was asleep on the floor. So that kind of summed up how tired we were at that point, but the Lord taught me a lot. The first one was obviously the making myself the point of view. Like, it was all about him and not about myself. The next one, hold on, I want to make sure I get these in order. Give me a second. Was trusting God even when I was overcome by fear, because this was my first plane ride I've ever been on was to Guatemala. So that was pretty scary, and not doing it with my family was even scarier. But my best friend did get to go, which was awesome, and so that definitely helped, and she was checking in on me quite a bit. And then just the uncertainty of going to a new country, like, I cried to my parents, and I was like, what if I don't come home? And they're like, you're gonna come home. But that thought was in my mind. And so I was really scared, but the Lord definitely gave me peace about the whole thing, which was awesome, and I thank him every day for that. And then the first thing I said, but also the last thing was just resting. So last year I was an RA, which is a resident assistant, so basically I'm kind of like the mother of my hall. And so having a spring break trip was kind of stressful for me because I went from midterms to going to Guatemala and pouring myself out there and then coming back and having to be there for my girls, answering questions, doing different things. And so the Lord definitely taught me the importance of resting in him and finding time to do that and saying, no, I'm not going to go out tonight, or no, sorry, I can't do that, and really finding my strength in him and not going, which is something he's been trying to teach me for a while, and this definitely, like, pushed it over the edge a little bit. So, okay, and then we'll go to my next mission trip. So the last one I went to was Baptist Hill. It's in Mount Vernon, so not as far as Guatemala, I know, but this is my second year going on this trip, so if you want to go to the next slide. I got to go last summer, and there was about 10 of us who went. This year, there's a little more than 10. There was 15 of us from SBU, and then the high schoolers from Polk County Christian School actually got to go with us, so I got to go with my brother and my dad and some people that I have known for a very long time. And that was super fun because I got to share something I loved with people who I really care about. And I got to see the girls at that school who I have been able to mentor for a couple years go work for the Lord and see them serve for the Lord, which was awesome and really cool. And it was a really fun group. We laughed a lot. We had a lot of fun, and we got a lot of work done. So if you want to go to the next slide. So I was there 2 weeks. Week one was at the end of May, and I didn't get very many photos because I'm really bad at taking pictures, apparently. So we worked a lot. We did kind of whatever the camp needed to get ready for the camp season. So we cleaned dorms, we picked up sticks, we raked leaves, we weeded, we cleaned air filters. I did that for about 4 hours one day, and you have to take them off, you know, like the hotel ones that come off the wall. Yeah, I did those, and I had to dip them in a trash can, let them sit for 15 minutes, and then flip them and do the other side. So it definitely took a while, and in the heat, it was not very fun because it was almost hotter there than it was in Guatemala. And kind of like what Trevor was saying, I got eaten up by mosquitoes here and not in Guatemala. So that was not very fun, but doing it with some of my really close friends was great. We also helped clean their pool. So Jim, the owner of the camp, and then their handyman, Aaron, we really wanted to go swimming, and their pool was not ready, so they worked their tails off to get it ready for us. Unfortunately, they couldn't get it done in time, but me and my dad, we helped vacuum out the pool and everything, and then one night they were up until like 3 a.m. trying to clean it. So that was us. We took a midnight walk down to the pool to go and bring them candy and say thank you. So that picture on the left is us. That on the top right is a photo of the view from their cafeteria. So it looks over a valley, and there's a spring that runs through, and it is absolutely gorgeous in the evening and just during the day. And it was really cool just to see God's creation throughout the whole thing. So if you want to go to the next slide, yeah. So week two, I get to be a camp counselor for one of the camps. And this year I got to be with another one of my good friends. And the group of girls we had, loved them absolutely to death. I had 5 girls, but they came from some pretty rough backgrounds, to say the least. They all were dealing with different things, whether it was addiction from parents or whatever it might have been. They all came from some different backgrounds, which was very hard to see and think about because I had girls 3rd grade to 6th grade. I'm like, you guys are too young to be dealing with some of the stuff you're dealing with. But it was definitely very cool to see. So they did theme nights. One night was USA night. That's us on the left. In the middle, we were playing, I think they're about to play mud tug or tug of war in mud. If you've never heard of it. So they were getting together, coming up with a game plan. I was very proud of them for doing that. They worked really hard. The 3 on the left were 3 of my girls. They definitely had a lot of energy, and they definitely were very fun. They kept me on my toes, to say the least. One brought a palette of makeup, and I would wake up, and there'd be makeup all over the face, and I was like, okay, yeah, how long have you been awake for at 6 a.m.? But it was really fun, and it was really cool to see. So if you want to go to the next slide. On the left, every night, we do like a big kids camp church service, basically. And at the end, all the group leaders get to go up and surround all the campers and pray over them, and then campers can come to us and ask for a specific prayer request. And this was one of my girls. Loved her to death, and she came. It was really fun. I actually didn't have this picture until about a day ago, and my friends was like, hey, I saw they posted this. And so I was like, I'm going to add it because I think it's cool, and I don't know. But so that was a really sweet moment because there were a lot of vulnerable things said, not just from her, but from all of our campers. They all kind of came up at different times. So that was a very sweet moment that they trusted us enough to tell us those things. The girl in the middle, she found a crawdad, and she was very excited. She wanted to put it in my hair, and I told her no. She tried anyway. But she was very excited that she found it. And then we did Bible study, and then that was me and my friend down at the spring, because we took them down to the spring one day, and they got to play and hang out for a little bit. So while I was at Baptist Hill, the Lord taught me a couple of different things. The first one being how to serve with a joyful heart, because at times I was very tired and I didn't want to work anymore, whether it was the first week or the second week, just mentally and physically tired, and just reminding myself, like, I'm not here for me. I'm here to serve the Lord. That's the most important thing. I'm here to serve these girls and the other kids that are going to come to this camp. So it was very refreshing to see that, and I had people behind me who were there to pick me up and encourage me in that. The next thing is they kind of go together, the power of prayer and the importance on leaning on fellow believers. So during the first week, I had a pretty big interview for a teaching position at Polk County Christian School. I had already interviewed once, and I was getting my second interview, and I was very nervous for it. Because this was like, oh my goodness, I'm getting a big girl job if I get this. And so I was kind of scared to do it. And so I was talking to my leader, and I was like, hey, like, I gotta go get ready. They'd known about it all week. So I leave, I go get ready. She's like, you can use my laptop. So I come back and I get her laptop, and I don't see anybody. And the cafeteria has windows all over the front, and I'm like, I don't see anybody, and I don't see Dr. Schuler. Like, everyone left me. But so I come out, and I walk out, and I start walking to the cafeteria, and I see this giant circle of people. And I'm like, what is happening? I'm like, I'm not going to walk in because that's weird. I don't know. I didn't want to walk in. Dr. Schuler meets me outside, and she goes, every single person in here is praying for you right now. So that was very cool, and I definitely know it worked because I did not have an ounce of fear or anxiety in me at that time. They definitely helped me with that, and it was very awesome to see because it was not only people that I have known through SBU, but it was people that I have seen grown up, and I didn't know what was happening, and I was told that someone in my family might have been crying, and it was not my brother, and my mom wasn't there. So you put the pieces together. sorry, Dad. But it was very awesome to see, because I'm a very quiet person, believe it or not, when it comes to things like that. And so getting to see that was very cool and very encouraging to me. And then I got told, you'll know by the end of the night whether you got it or not. And I was like, okay, cool. So I'm waiting all night for this phone call to come in, and it's 9:30, and I was like, okay, it's fine. You know, I probably didn't get it, whatever. And then they're like, no, you're going to get a phone call whether you get it or not. I was like, okay. So then we're going on a prayer walk, me and my group, and I knew the instant we came back from that prayer walk, my phone was going to ring. Sure enough, I'm walking, we're at the end, my phone lights up, and it's from PCCS. And I'm like, okay, this is fine. So I take it, and I got it, which is awesome. So I'm going to be a second grade teacher at PCCS, which is really cool. I wasn't going to add it. My mom said add it in because it was definitely a testament of God's faithfulness and of the prayer that happened for that. And I have never seen so many people excited for me. I remember my friends, they came out because I hadn't told them that I'd gotten it yet. And I told Dr. Schuler, I said, will you go in and tell them to come out and see me? Well, I had my dad come out first. I told him that I had my friends come out, and they were already in tears because they thought I didn't get it, because that's why I didn't walk in. And then I told them, and they were super excited. And then I got to tell my girls that I was going to teach fourth grade, now second grade. And they were super excited and super encouraging, which was awesome to see. That was kind of my mission trip experience and the things I learned. I just want to say thank you, because none of that would have been possible without you guys. Definitely not Guatemala and probably not Baptist Hill either. And I also know that the only reason I could definitely go to Guatemala was through prayer. I knew I had a couple people who were constantly telling me, I'm praying for you, like, when's your trip? Like, I'll be praying for you while you go. So I just want to say thank you for that. And kind of like what Trevor was saying, if you want to donate anything, Casa Bernabe has an online resource, and they have t-shirts, coffee, all those different things. You can just donate to the orphanage or the CGC, kind of like what he was saying. So, anyway, yeah, does anyone have any questions? Okay, here you go, Steve.
It's really neat when we get to see these kids turn into adults. Such a blessing to see that. It's not going to work. Let's pray. God, you are so amazing. We see your hand. We see you moving in these lives. Lord, the kids that were touched, the adults that were touched through this time with Trevor and him as they just did what you called them to do. Lord, show us that if we'll just do what you call us to do, you will touch people right here. Lord, I thank you and I praise you for each person that had a part to do in their mission trips. And Lord, the way it changed lives, changed their lives, changes our lives. Lord, you are so amazing. We thank you and we praise you. Lord, we ask your blessing as we go from this place tonight. In your name we pray. Amen.